Hello and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. My name's Anna Leeds.
And my name's Russell Leeds. And this week we're going to be looking at the future of property with AI. Now, a lot of people are scared, and I think rightfully so actually, about AI potentially taking their jobs, taking people's jobs. And you can see this happening already. If you look in America, for example, they've got self-driving taxis. Literally, you know, if you go to LA, we went to LA about a year ago,
yep.
And there's cars driving around with no drivers in, taking people from A to B. You look at Amazon, talking of drivers, look at Amazon, they're experimenting right now, even here in the UK, with delivery drivers that are drones, right? It's all AI based.
Yep.
You mark out a little spot in your garden, and the AI drone comes, drops your parcel off in your little spot. So what does that mean, for example, if you're a delivery driver or if you're a taxi driver? AI is probably going to steal your job. I don't think it's been much longer where we've got people that are working as professional drivers.
No, that's probably right, isn't it?
Well, why would they when you can get AI to do it for much, much cheaper?
I mean, it's been going on for years though, hasn't it? Like,
what do you mean?
What about self-service checkouts?
Yeah.
They've been cutting jobs for years and years and years.
You've got self-service checkouts. You've got, I think customer service is another one. If you look, it's all AI bots now.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, though, you're right. It has been happening for years, but it's accelerated over the last few years because the AI is getting smarter and getting much better. So people are worried. They're like, oh, my goodness, my job's going to go. And the other thing is, I suppose, because they've been able to cut jobs, it's cheaper to get workers. Salaries are dropping now. I saw an interesting stat the other day. In the 90s, if you were earning 40 grand, that was considered a really good salary.
Yeah.
Do you know how much money you need to earn today to be able to have the same lifestyle as someone in the 90s who was earning 40 grand?
Oof. It would be quite a lot more. 90 grand?
125 grand. 125 grand. But the thing is, people don't earn 125 grand anymore.
No, it's not many. That's like, what's that? The top 1%?
Oh, well, interesting you say that. I talked about this on a podcast before. So if you go onto the government website and you go look at the Office for National Statistics, you can have a look at the different, do you know, like a percentile? You use percentiles like with kids, don't you? Like, I'm in the 95th percentile, you know, of size or whatever for the baby. But you can look at percentiles for how much people earn. Now, to be in the top 50% of earners in the UK, now, this is not the average salary. This is to be in the top 50% of earners. So if you're earning the salary I'm about to tell you, you are earning more than 50% of the working adult population in the UK. And that figure, to be in the top 50%, is just £26,000.
That's crazy.
So if you're earning 26 grand or more, you're in the top 50%. To be in the top 25% of working adults here in the UK, this is the government statistics, you've got to be earning 40 grand. And the top 10% is 60 grand. So these salaries that we're talking about, top 10% is 60 grand. You know, imagine that salary in the 90s. It's probably like the equivalent of being on about 18.
Yeah. That's shocking, isn't it?
It is shocking. And the other problem is the cost of living has gone up.
Yeah.
So these salaries that are all staying around about the same, people think, oh, inflation's got 10%. But don't worry, because I got a 10% pay rise. It's like, yeah, but you're earning less money. Because that 10% pay rise, you don't get to keep all of it. If you're earning 40 grand and you get a 10% pay rise, that's a 4 grand pay rise. How much of that 4 grand do you actually get to keep?
Probably like 2.5, maybe 3 max.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so even if
your salary matches inflation, you're still losing money, and it doesn't match inflation. Salaries are falling behind. That's why we've got a cost of living crisis. That's why right now we're in a situation where food banks have gone up 50%.
Yeah.
But it's not homeless people that are going to food banks, it's nurses.
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? Absolutely shocking. And I would, if I was in any industry, like even industries, like, because obviously I used to be a web designer and a graphic designer. That's just...
Oh, yeah. You can now... I
feel like I wouldn't have a job anymore.
You can now. You can. There's a company, obviously, it's called Mixo.ai, right? You can go on, you can create a website. Basically, just type in, this is what my company does. And it creates you an entire website in about 5 seconds.
Yeah. I remember when web designers were nervous when Wix and Canva came out. I mean, now they're irrelevant. And really, you can just go, right.
Yeah.
Right,
everything
sort,
now.
Do this for me.
You ChatGPT, go on your images. So, you know, if you're a graphic designer, AI is probably going to take your job.
Yeah.
If you're a copywriter, AI is probably going to take your job. If you're a customer service, AI is probably going to take your job. So the question is, do you would you just sit here worrying about it? That's what I see some people do. Oh, it's terrible. It isn't terrible. It's just, it actually is just progress.
Yeah.
So what you need to do, you need to adapt. So yep. This has happened before, right? If you look back when everyone worked in a factory, you know, 100 years ago, everyone worked in a factory, everyone was a miner, and then they got machinery to replace those jobs. So what happens is you have to adapt. You can't just stay, well, I'm just going to carry on being a factory worker. It's like, well, you're not really needed anymore. Yeah. You need to do something that's needed. All
and
right,
no actually, one, oh, sorry.
No, you go.
No one ever likes change, do they? It's like every time something big comes in and there's going to be a change, no one wants it. No one likes it. And then before you know it, you almost don't know how to live without it, like the internet.
Yeah.
When that was coming in.
Everyone's scared of the internet.
Yeah, which painfully, we actually didn't have the internet when we were born. That's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we remember the internet coming in and no one wanted it. Everyone was like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's going to damage society. Now you wonder, oh my gosh, what did we do before the internet? Like, yeah. What did people do?
What did we do before the internet? When you couldn't have the internet on your phone when you were out and about.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Remember the dial-up tones where you couldn't be on the house phone, the landline, and the internet, and you used to ring people and they used to ding, bing, bing, and it was like, oh, they're on the internet.
Yeah, do you remember the noise it used to make?
No, I can't remember.
I bet you can. You just don't want to do it.
No, you do.
It used to go like... That was quite a good impression of the dial-up internet. But really rich people, really cool people had two phone lines.
They did that. That was super cool.
One for the internet.
And now it's very uncool to have a phone line.
Yeah, well, now we don't have a phone line at all.
I mean, now when it says put two numbers in the box, one landline, you think, really, a landline? Like, who has one of those anymore?
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. So, question is then, do you just sit here moaning about it or do you adapt? I personally think the only way to be successful is not to rely on a job. I mean, there are some people but not many. Even the top 10% are only making 60 grand.
Yeah, but there's certain jobs we're always going to need doctors. I can't see the day that it's like you're going for heart surgery and it's a robot.
But how much do you make as a doctor? Shall I Google it now?
No, but I was just saying.
I'm not saying we don't need a doctor.
There will be some jobs that I feel are quite secure.
What do you reckon a doctor average salary is?
60 grand.
How much doctors earn in the UK? A foundational doctor makes 32 to 37.
Wow.
Specialist training, 43 to 63. And a speciality doctor, 52 to 82. So even if you're a doctor, a specialist training doctor, and you're earning between 43 and 63, maybe you're earning 63, even the top 10%, you're still broke.
Yeah, which is
shocking. Because cost of living has gone up. So what you need to do is you need to be in a situation where you're not trading your time for money. As soon as you start trading your time for money and a task that you do for money, that's when AI can come in and replace you. And what you need to do instead is you need to use AI to do things like set up a property business.
Yeah.
I think. So what we thought we'd do is we'll have a look at some of the best ways, rather than being scared of AI and afraid of it, because it's coming anyway. Whether you're scared of it or not, it is coming. So rather than being scared of it, afraid of it, and worried about it, instead, look how you can leverage it and use it for your advantage. So I've made a list of 10 ways that you can use AI as a property investor and in your property business. Here are the 10 ways you should do it. First one, number one, responding to emails. So now, Google, I've got Gemini, but there's lots of different ones. Obviously, you can still use ChatGPT. With Gemini, it will suggest responses to you on your emails. You should be embracing this sort of thing.
Oh,
so when an email comes through, it's just like, here's a lovely written response. Or if you write something, you can get it to AI to spell check it, change it.
Is amazing for people who aren't good at copywriting, because I, as a graphic designer, I'm very visual. I love making websites. I love coming up with all like content, but I'm not like, between us, you're then the content writer. You've always been good at that. And back in the day when we built websites, I designed them, you wrote the text.
Yeah.
If you're someone like me, that it doesn't come that naturally, I'm not saying I'm absolutely rubbish, but it doesn't come that naturally to write long, lovely emails and come up with great speech. This is revolutionary.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think you can literally just go respond to this email, but then obviously it doesn't know you. It's maybe not responding the way you want. So I think the best way of using it is you writing roughly what you want to say. So you see the email as rather than like, because normally if you want to respond professionally to an email, it takes time. You've got to be considered. You've got to think through what you're going to say. Then you've got to write that. Then you've got to make it sound good and professional and polite and everything. You don't want to just be like rude.
Also don't want it. You don't want it to just look like, oh, they just put it in, like they just got AI to respond.
No, you want it to look like it's you. So the best thing to do is to quickly write up roughly what you think, and then you just say, respond to this email basically saying this.
Yeah.
And it will put it in a really nice way. So that's the first way. I'm sure a lot of you listening to this will know that you can use ChatGPT or Google Gemini. Apple's got a cool thing actually recently. It's quite a recent update. So I'll show you here. So when you go into your email, it kind of gives you a rough summary of what the emails are, and it prioritizes stuff that's important.
Yes.
So it's using AI to go through all your emails. This is roughly what they're saying. Oh, look, this one's a further action required for this one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, okay, that's just spam. Oh, that one, I need to do something. Booking.com, I need to update my property account. There's been a change there. A reservation reminder. So it puts it in a nice order for you. So you can using it not only to respond to emails, but also to manage your mailbox.
Yeah, which is great, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think that's the first thing. Anyway, number two, on a similar vein, writing sales copy. And again, I think it's important that you do good prompts. So you think through. Don't just say, write sales copy for this, because then it will feel like AI copy.
Yeah.
I see this sometimes, actually, when you read someone's website and you can just tell it's written by AI. Yeah. I think people are getting attuned to it now.
Yeah. Also, I was just looking in your list. I think the next one down, even more so.
What you can tell when it's being written by AI.
Creating social media posts. That's one I actually don't use AI for, because I find, even if I put in, because I'm mainly, it's Instagram for me that I post on, and I even put in, I want this to be an Instagram post. I don't know if it's quite got, and it writes me a post about this long and it's really over the top cheesy, like, I've had the most magical day in the dirt. And I'm like, I just never post that. And I actually don't think they've got that quite right yet.
What you can do though
is social media posts.
Is you can find posts that you've done before that have worked well. And you can say, here's a couple of examples of how I write my social media posts. Write it in the same style, but talk about this.
Yeah, I just feel for me, it's never quite got it right. And I actually still write my own social media posts.
Yeah, or you could use it and then you can edit it. So normally what it says is good, it's just too fluffy.
Yeah.
And too woolly. But you can tell it that. It's all about the prompts. It's all about the, like, for example, if I say now.
Let's have a go then.
Let's do it in real life. So what sort of thing would you post on social media?
I would post about being on holiday and want to write about a country I'm in.
Okay, so I'm on holiday. Where are you going next?
I'm going to Tallinn.
Tallinn. In
Estonia.
Estonia. I'm on holiday in Tallinn, in Estonia.
Right, and then I would like to highlight a few places to visit. Like some highlights. Like,
I'd like to post some holiday pics showing some of the best places
to visit
while here. Write an Instagram post.
Go then,
for this.
Yeah, and see what that.
All right, see what it says.
Maybe you've got yours better trained, and it will come up with something.
Well, I haven't done a particularly good prompt here, so probably not. It's probably going to be. So exploring the stunning streets of Tallinn, Estonia, from the medieval charm of the old town to the breathtaking views from Tumpi Hill. I've never been, by the way. This city is a true gem. Highlights include the iconic Alexander Nevsky. I'm going to show my ignorance here. Nevsky Cathedral. The vibrant colours of
At least
the,
we know what to go and visit now when we go.
The picturesque something. And a stroll along the scenic waterfront. Okay, so what you'd probably want, and then a little bit at the end, can't wait to show.
The unforgettable moments, the enchanting destination.
Yeah.
I think when you use too many, it said stunning, enchanting, medieval, unforgettable. It's just a bit too much, isn't it? It's like, when someone posts something like that on Instagram, I instantly don't even read it because I think, right, AI... Yeah. It's just too much.
So I've just said it again. Write this a bit shorter and more personable. Let's see. Yeah, it's still the same, isn't
it?
Just soaking up the beauty of Tallinn, Estonia. Yeah, I think what you need to do, I think the key, is find some posts that you've done already and say, write it like this. That's what I do. I find that works the best. But I still have to edit them. I think the lesson here is you can use it to copyright for you.
Yeah.
You can use it to write social media posts for you. But the better you put in, the better it comes out. The more information you give it and the more editing you do afterwards, the better it will be. You can't just go, write a post about this, because people do that and you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, totally. I'm sure, will actually kill engagement. However, the other thing that I do is I write it and then say, improve this post if you can, sort of thing. And it might make a couple of changes to the way I've worded something.
Yeah, which can be good.
Which can be good. You can still use it for that, but you're right. At the moment,
I don't think it's 100% got social media.
No. Okay. But you can still use it for those things.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, here's a massive one then. This is one that you definitely will want to use. Number four, utilizing meeting transcription services. So what do I mean by that? So I've used a bit of software called Read AI. Google does this as well if you're on a Google Meet with Gemini. But what Read AI will do is it will transcribe your meeting, but it will also remember the key points. And it will remember like things like the action points.
Yep.
And it will email it to everyone at the end of the meeting. So rather than having, normally, who would you have on the meeting? You'd have a PA or someone whose job it is to make notes, you know, the minutes through the meeting, action points, da, 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 da. But this will know, who said this? Who said that? These are all the meet. These are the agenda. Here are the action points. Bang. Every single meeting, which I think is really useful.
Yeah.
We've also got the same thing on our telephone system. So if we're phoning a client, for example, there's an AI in the background of the telephone system that will summarize the chat and tell you key points. It will even rate it on like how, if you're scanning through, it'll be like how, what do they call it? How in sync you are. It's not the right word, but sort of how, not friendly. I can't think of the word, but do you know, like how it rates the call. Oh, I can't believe I lost the ability to talk. See, if I had an AI, it would tell me what to say right now. But like how in sync you are on the phone call,
it'll
give it a rating. So like if it's really friendly and everyone's really happy, it'll give it like a 9. Let's say it was a refund request and they're really angry, it'd be like, I was a 1. So you can scan through your calls.
That's funny.
And you're like, oh, that was a bad call. What happened then? And then go in and listen to it.
I also quite like, when the emails come through, how it does a little bit of a spiel at the start. And obviously, when you go on these meetings, you're normally just chit-chatting at the start. And then it will come up with like, oh, everyone was having a good old laugh about so-and-so and their holiday. And it just makes me laugh that like it's taken note of that. And it's like, oh, we were all having a laugh at the start.
Yeah, everyone was taking the mickey out of Tony.
Yeah.
That's what it normally says. Yeah. No offence, Tony. So they're the first five. Now, my next five, which are brilliant ways that you can use AI, are all specifically property related. And they're using a bit of AI software called Deal Sourcer.
Okay. Well, before we move on to that,
I've
got one last thing to say about the first five.
All right.
How exciting are those for people who are starting up in business?
Oh, massive.
Like, oh my goodness. Like when we started, we had to have a web designer, have someone to take minutes in meetings. Like how many, I know in one way it's bad because we're saying about all these jobs that are going to be gone, but for someone starting up in business, all these people now you don't need and don't have to employ because of AI is insane and very exciting.
It is very, very exciting. It is very, I think from an entrepreneurial point of view, this is brilliant news.
Yeah.
From an employee point of view, maybe not so, but stop trading your time for money and set up your own business and leverage this.
Yeah, because it's when I think back to when we set up our first company, imagine if we had had this.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Sorry,
it is amazing.
That was the point.
I agree. It's a very good point. Well made. So the next five, these are all property related and all a bit of software. It's called Deal Sourcer, which is an AI software that basically helps you do a lot of the tasks that you spend time doing as a deal sourcer. So let me hit you with some of them because these are freaking amazing. All right. Number one, number five, depending on how you look at it. But number five or number one of this section, finding deals with Deal Sourcer, right? So what does this actually do? So what this does is it scans the internet looking for Rightmove, Zoopla, all these sites, looking for great property investment deals. So it will look at things like, let's say you're looking for a BRR deal.
Yep.
It's got AI software that looks at the photographs on the Rightmove listing. And if it can tell by the photo that like, oh, that looks like a wreck,
it'll be like, oh, this is a good opportunity for a BRR deal. Yep. You can add value. Or it will look at things like, it will look at the street value. So it will know how much the houses should be worth. But if your house is much less than the houses around it, it will go, ah, this is a potential BMV.
Uh-huh. So you,
oh, this is a potential rent-to-rent deal. You can, it looks on Gumtree and finds potential rent-to-rent deals or open rent, for example. So okay. You can tell it what sort of deal you're looking for. Now, of course, you've got to go and do your own due diligence. You can't just go, well, the AI said it was great, so happy days, I'm going to buy it. But from a time-saving point of view, like, it's going to save you so much time. Because if you're looking for BRRs or rent-to-rents or whatever, normally you have to go on Rightmove, look at every single house, yep, looking for houses you can add value to. This would be like, here's 20, check these out.
So obviously I know what Deal Sourcer is, but for people who don't, how does it work? Do you just go on and it goes, this is a good deal, this is a good deal, and you search through? Or do you say, this is exactly what I'm looking for? Can you put the area in? Can you put the price in?
You can put the area in, the price in, how much BMVs you want it, how do you want to list it? You can basically do what you want. It's a bit like Rightmove, but with AI looking at it specifically for property investors. So that's the first
thing. Pretty incredible.
It is amazing. All right, here's another thing you can do. It can identify negative equity properties.
Okay.
Right. So again, why would you want to look up a negative equity property? Well, actually, before we even get into that, what does negative equity even mean? Right. So negative equity would be where, let's say I bought a property for 100 grand and then there was a crash, which there has been.
Yep.
In many instances throughout recent history. So this is a crash and the property is now only worth 80 grand. I'm now in a situation where I can't sell this house.
Yep.
Even if I want to. Well, I could do, but I'd lose money.
Yep. Right,
the money that they gave me wouldn't even cover my mortgage payments. So I basically can't sell the house. I'm kind of trapped. So if I needed my money out of that house, I wouldn't be able to. So what do you do? Well, you're a bit stuck. If you're a property entrepreneur, I could approach one of those people and I could say, look, you want to sell your house. I know you want to sell it because it's up on the market, but it's not selling because you put it up for 100, even though it's only worth 80, because you need to sell it for 100 to get your money back.
Yeah.
Which is what happens. So what I'll do is I'll pay you the 100 for it, but I'll give it you in 5 years' time, once it's gone up to 100. In the meantime, I'll take the property off you and I'll manage it as if I was the landlord. So what this means is you've got the potential when you do this sort of deal to get a banging deal in 5 years' time.
Yep.
Because it might have significantly gone up. But also you can make money from it, a bit like a rent to rent.
Yep.
In the meantime, right? So these are great deals if you can find properties that are on the market but not selling because they're in negative equity. Now, how do you find them normally? Well, normally what you have to do is you have to find houses that aren't really selling and then going back and look, what did this house sell for? Oh, no, it hasn't been sold in recent history. Or, oh, no, they bought it for more. They're just selling it a different reason. You have to just go and do all the due diligence on the individual house.
It's quite hard to actually find them out without putting a lot of effort in.
You have to look at each house on an individual basis.
Yeah.
What Deal Sourcer does with negative equity leads is it just goes, here's 100. So you just put the area in. I'm looking in Liverpool. And we'll go, right, here are all the negative equity houses. Because it's AI,
yeah,
it can just scan them all, see what they were bought for, see what they're up for now. It just knows. So that, game changer.
Game changer.
Sort of deals. Yeah. Next, finding motivated sellers. So you can use AI to look through for when properties have got a motivated seller. Now, I'll be honest, I actually don't quite know how it does this.
Yeah, how can it?
I imagine maybe
someone dropping the price.
That maybe houses that have been reduced, possibly. But it has a, I don't quite know how it does
reduced
it.
Reduced, being on a long time. Would they be motivated sellers? Probably.
They might not be. They might be the opposite of motivated seller. They might be like, I'm so unmotivated, I'm not going to accept any offer.
Yeah, so I wonder what else it uses to work it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe reduced. That's the only thing I can think of. But anyway, it goes through and it finds you a load of motivated sellers, which I think is really cool. Number 8 is it calculates the return on investment for you, right? So to work out the return on investment, you need to know things like, how much money am I going to need for this deal? So you'd need to know what the deposit was going to be. You'd need to know what the refurb was going to be. You'd need to know what the legal fees were going to be, the stamp duty was going to be, all these things.
Yep.
But what it will do when it's assessing property deals is it will work out roughly what you'll need for all those things. It will then look at rents and end values and work out all that. And it will give you a rough return on investment and a return on investment calculator. So you can go through and edit the figures if you want to.
Yep.
So when you're looking for these deals, it's just, this one's a 20% ROI, this one's 22, this one's 24. Now, of course, again, you're going to go and check it, but just to get this all worked out for all these properties without you doing any work and having it all there, I think it's phenomenal.
It is, isn't it?
I think so.
When you think about all the work you used to have to put in to go and just spend hours and hours on Rightmove.
I would say that this is not going to replace you, right? Because
it's bigger, the rest of us. Yeah, of course.
But what it will do is it will probably make you 10 times more efficient.
Yeah, because it will narrow it down. And yeah, it might get the odd one off, but overall, it's going to get roughly the right properties for you.
Yeah.
Rather than you having to go through every single property on Rightmove. Yeah, it's incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah. I think if you're not using this to be 10 times more efficient, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right, something's wrong. Next, estimate the refurb costs. So it will, based on the property, because it even knows things like how big the property is.
Yeah.
So it will look at the pictures and it will go, this property is an estate. This needs renovating. How big is it? Let's go and check on the government website, on the EPC register, find out how big it is. Ah, that's how big it is. So this is roughly how much refurb it'd be. Cost per square meter. Just works it all out for you. Now, I wouldn't be able to do that without this. I'd have to go and view it and have a look around, maybe get a builder.
And do you know what else I think it cuts out? Is when you're doing it all individually, obviously, if it adds up all on here and then you go and view it, but then 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a good property. When you're just going and taking like a chance in it, the problem is you end up investing in slot off properties because by the time you've done all that duty, you overinvested because you've put the time in. So you go, you've liked it on Rightmove, you think it's good, but you don't know, you don't need to see it in person, you travel to go and see it in person, oh, you like the look of the outside. Doesn't really add up. It's like, oh, but I like it now and I've travelled.
Oh, suddenly you're emotionally invested.
Yeah. Well, I think this cuts out the ones where you might accidentally buy because you've ended up getting yourself too emotionally invested because they're all going to be of a decent standard before you go and see them. Because people do that so often and you just can't help yourself. I mean, we've really had to tell ourselves sometimes, stop now. This just doesn't add up, but we just want it because now we spent time on it and we liked it and we've spent hours discussing it and we kind of, you can get yourself in a position where you almost want it at any cost and you think, well, hang on a minute here, this doesn't even add up, but I'm so over-invested emotionally that you can end up making silly decisions and I think this cuts that out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that because you're only looking at the bangers now, you're not wasting your time and energy and effort and potentially getting emotionally involved. Yeah. I totally agree. That's a really good point. And lastly, and Rightmove does this as well, by the way, so you don't necessarily need to go for DealSourcer for this, but if you're using DealSourcer anyway, it's brilliant, is it gives AI property valuation.
Yeah.
Which have got better and better and better over years. So what they'll do is they'll look at when it was sold. So let's say it was sold 5 years ago for X amount. And then they'll go, right, okay, well, how much has the market in that area moved since then? Oh, the market has moved, on average, looking at sold prices, say 10%, 12%.
Yeah.
Right, so what we'll do is we'll add on 12%. So it gives you a really good idea of what the value of the property is now. Now, obviously, it doesn't take into consideration if the person's refurbed it.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
but it would be just in a like-for-like state.
Yeah.
5 years on, this is roughly what it would be worth, which is, again, really useful.
Yeah, it is.
Really useful tool. And again, it uses this for the whole, all the other aspects. It's looking for the deals. It's looking at things like how much is the property worth now? So you'd know if you were buying a property that was BMV.
Yeah.
Right. And you can even search by that. You can go, just show me all the properties that are below market value.
Yeah.
Show me the ones that are the most below market value to the, and it will go through it and work it all out for you. But you can actually use Rightmove to do this too.
Okay.
So I keep an alert of all our properties. You've probably seen the emails come through.
Yeah.
On Rightmove. Just keeping an eye on the valuations of them. Just because I find it interesting.
Yeah, no, I do as well.
And it helps you know as well if you're thinking of remortgaging it. Look, that one's actually gone up X amount. Maybe it's worth doing a remortgage. And just keeps you in the loop. Again, without you having to do the work.
Yeah, incredible.
It's just massive, massive time saver. So that's DealSourcer. We use it all the time for all our deals and finding deals. If you're a DealSourcer or if you're just looking for deals yourself, I think it's well worth the money. We've actually had a chat with the guys that manage it, and they've said that they can do a 7-day free trial
for anyone who signs up with the link. So I'm going to put a link below. So if you want a 7-day free trial of DealSources, try it out for yourself. Find some deals. If you're not happy with it after 7 days, or you don't like it, you can just cancel and it won't cost you anything. But if you like it, which I think you will, you will stay on and you can use this to save you an awful lot of time and make you an awful lot of money through property. So any closing thoughts on AI, property, business? Like, what are you thinking about the future?
I just think it's actually very exciting. I think for all entrepreneurs, and like just how we've then honed in on how it can help property investors. But I think for everyone, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Time saving, and you've got time to do other things, and you can focus on other things. You can grow your companies. You can. I think it's very, very exciting. I think Deal Sourcer, for like you say, deal sellers, anything in property, is amazing.
Yeah.
And AI is just advancing everyone, isn't it? I mean, I can see why people are scared, because like you say, if you're in a job where you feel like, look, I'd be scared if I was still a web designer.
Yeah, you'd be thinking, oh, no.
Yeah, if I'd put my whole life in that career, I would be scared. But I think it gives also people a chance to do something different. And like we were saying the other day, not just be normal.
Yeah.
Take a chance.
I agree. A couple of other little things as well. Web design I just mentioned, because I don't think that was part of our original list. But another thing we used it for recently was actually interior design.
Yes.
So there are specific interior design apps that you can get where you can like take a picture of your room and say, design this, and you tell them the style you want, and it will design it. I just used ChatGPT. So I said, for one of our hotels. I was like, create a room for one of our hotels, luxury feel, this is what I want, these are the things, the features that we got. And it created one. And then I said, create an alternative, a different color scheme. Got the two, posted it on my Instagram. Said, what do people prefer? And then ended up reasonably similar. So we thought, let's do both. Let's do some rooms like that, some rooms like this. I gave it to the manager there. I was like, I want the rooms to look like this. So my interior design was done for me in seconds via AI.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
And it's only going to get more and more advanced, isn't it? What we think now is advanced, look forward 15 years and we'll be laughing at how unadvanced it was back then, going, remember when all it did was write your copy for you and we were all loving it and we had that app called Deal Sourcer.
And do you remember when it wrote really bad social media posts?
And we used to all laugh, and before we know it, we'll be looking back on these days laughing about how crap AI was back.
But you're probably right.
How we laugh how crap the internet was when it first came out. At the time, it was revolutionary.
It was amazing. You're probably right. And on that bombshell, I think it's time to end. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you found it very useful. I'll put the link below for Deal Sourcer, and we will see you next week.